Welcome to the Living Artist Podcast. I'm your host, Preston M. Smith. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Living Artist Podcast. I'm Preston M. Smith, at PMS Artwork Everywhere on internet land and socials. I want to thank you for landing on this podcast. Whether you're a professional artist, just getting started in the art world, a collector of art, or just consider yourself a creative person, this podcast has something for you. I like to think of it as a fun way to rant and talk to other creative people about living the life of an artist, surviving and getting ahead in the art world, and enjoying your life. But most importantly, not waiting until you're dead to make it happen. All right, let's get started.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Yo.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Now I can hear awesome. You. Did you get a little recording message?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, cool. Good. Awesome, man. Thanks for doing
real
this.
Real quick in my studio for you because I have my NFT display for.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's cool.
Relevant.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I should get my headphones. I'm probably gonna
reverberate.
You'll hear sounds or something.
Maybe. So far, it's not bad. But if you want to, we can switch to that anytime.
Let me go grab them real quick.
Yeah, sure. No worries.
All right. I got my dog here too, trying to complicate matters.
Nice. Does your dog know anything about NFTs?
No, not at all. Let me get my headphones on.
So while you're getting set up, thanks for coming on. We just did this really spur of the moment. We never do this. I always schedule this stuff in advance, but Paul's got a really cool virtual exhibition. I don't even know if I'm saying it right, but it's kind of like a virtual NFT sort of Decentraland.
Virtual gallery in the metaverse, Decentraland, and it showcases my NFTs.
Welcome to the metaverse. That's awesome.
It's happening. Did you hear yesterday that Facebook changed its business name to Meta?
Meta, yeah.
It's because he's investing so much money into the metaverse because it's really the future.
It is the future. And that's kind of a good segue into this because for me, we've talked about this for a while, but I want to have you on, talk about NFTs. But for me, I was kind of waiting for the dust to settle. And I don't mean the dust is going to settle and NFTs are not going to be relevant anymore. But there was just so much going into it. I wanted to kind of see when everything kind of not baseline, but flattened out a bit, see where we're at.
Yeah. And when I last talked to you, I've learned so much since then. It's been a wild ride.
Yeah, man. So are you still, first of all, how long is your Decentraland virtual exhibition going to be up? Or is it always going to be up?
So I've had good success with NFTs and I took some of my profits and I bought that land. So that's my land.
So it's like digital real estate.
Yes. And I could sell it if I want to, but I'm keeping that. And so that's my permanent gallery.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
And I'm going to showcase other artists, have solo shows for other artists, and I'm going to do my own solo shows and cool events and things. I could do anything I want there. I could change it into a casino tomorrow, or I could change it into a shoe store that actually delivers real shoes to the buyers of the shoe NFTs,
Limitless.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome and mind-blowing. And but this specific show is going to be up until Monday.
Oh, okay. Monday. I was going to release this on Tuesday, so. Damn it.
Okay. Well, I'm probably going to switch it with, I can leave it up. I'll leave it up until Thursday, actually, because it's a Halloween show. That's why I was going to leave it till Monday.
Oh, right. Right. That's fine. As long as you're going to have the space up for people to come check out something else.
Yeah. There'll be stuff up, but Monday was probably a day that I might do all the switching, or Tuesday, whenever, but, I can leave it up till Thursday because I should probably release a video about the opening and still give people the opportunity to see it. And I release my videos on Wednesdays.
For sure.
On my YouTube channel.
I've got so many questions about it. So that's awesome that you kind of, I was thinking about how this whole world, the whole crypto world, everything NFTs is kind of like already like investing in some sort of digital real estate, but that you took it like a step further and actually bought digital real estate.
I'm listening.
Yeah. No worries. Paul's leaving. He's leaving the room. I pissed him off. No, but I wanted to know, first of all, like with NFTs, last time we talked, you said you were making pretty good money. I know a lot of people, I know a lot of artists who have either made a shit ton of money or have made zero money. And right. It sounds like you've still been pretty consistent, right?
Yes. So I know the strategy that people should take to succeed.
Here we go.
And it all starts with forget with what you know. If you're like if you're already an existing artist showing in galleries, forget what you know about that world. This is a whole different world. It's similar, but it's faster paced. But you have to start small. You can't just like list an NFT for $5,000 and expect someone to buy it. With that said, that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it happen to 18-year-olds. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, wow.
But the real value is in building a fan base, a community, and super fans that spread the word for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to work on doing that first. And the way to build that is to start small and sell for super cheap. So my first NFTs that I really got moving were being sold for like $1.50 each.
$3. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I would do additions. Of them. So like, let's say I had 10 additions at $1.50, then I make whatever that math is, $11.50.
Yeah. And, it's math.
And then there's this platform, Hic et Nunc, which is called HEN for short. It means here and now in Latin. It's a very accessible NFT platform. And that's where I was selling stuff for super cheap to start.
Mm-hmm.
And they occasionally have these community events where people share via hashtag. And it's just a great way to create awareness of your artwork.
Yeah.
And so definitely. I would participate in those events. Sometimes the NFTs that you give away in those events would be free. Sometimes they're like 0.1 tez, which currently is probably like, I don't know, 60 cents. It's $6 for one tez. So it would be like 6 cents possibly. Or sometimes it might be like $6, you know?
But now, so do you have to buy in first though to get in?
No, I mean, you probably need like 10 tez to start minting and everything. Depends on what you, because you have to pay transaction fees to load your artwork.
Right.
So you need at least that. And then like, as you sell, you get more back, you know?
Yeah.
But basically you're practically giving away NFTs with the hopes that people will impulse buy and become fans. Right. Mm-hmm. And so Twitter is the most powerful social media platform to garner this community and create connections and build network. And basically, again, you need to forget everything you know about social media and change your mindset. And Twitter is, it's all about give, 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 where everything else is about me, 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 right? Instagram is about me, 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 look at me.
Definitely.
Twitter, the power of the retweet button on Twitter is so incredible. And basically, instead of mindlessly scrolling through Instagram, you should be, as an NFT artist, you should be on Twitter retweeting NFT artists that you like.
Yeah.
And I have this sort of loose ratio that I try to follow. Obviously, it's not, if you went and did the math, it wouldn't be accurate. But basically, for every 10 retweets of someone else's work that I authentically, genuinely love and want to share, I'll do my own post about my stuff. About my stuff, 10 about other artists. And it's about give, 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 build community. Hey, check out my shit.
Yeah. Well, and I've been trying to preach that with even Instagram, like supporting other people and, you know, like not just going in and be like, hey, look at me, and then peacing out and being like, fuck everybody else. But even more so on Twitter.
It's just way easier on Twitter. It's way easier to do it. And if you... Like for me, I built up my Twitter to be specifically about NFTs. So I don't follow friends or family really on there. It's like 99% NFT related people that I follow. And so everything I post about has the vocabulary of NFTs, and it's all about NFTs. And I've, on that accessible platform, HEN, I've become a big collector. On the screen behind me, is a portion of my collection. I have like over 700 NFTs that I've collected.
Oh, wow.
Because they're so affordable, you know? And what's great about it is it's taught me the collector's mindset, and I'm able to understand what a collector's looking for when they are buying an NFT. And I've learned so much. And so again, forgetting what you know about the gallery world and pricing high, one of the main things you should consider with NFTs are the flippability of the collector. So if someone buys your work, what are the chances of them flipping it for a profit?
That's what I was going to ask you. And if they flip it, you get paid instantaneously. You get a percentage.
Yeah.
Right?
So early on when I was giving away NFTs for free, like one, for example, I decided to take one of my home run body paintings and I put it on there for practically nothing. And 100 people bought it.
I made $300.
And
so this wasn't like a limited edition. This was just, you could buy as many as possible or you did 100.
So basically, to throw in some terms, it was an open edition. After a certain amount of time, you stop it and then you burn the remainder.
Gotcha.
And so it made it to 100, which was really good. And I believe it made it there because that was one of my home run images.
Yeah. Right?
If it was just kind of an average body painting of mine, it wouldn't have done so well. Mm-hmm. But the goal here wasn't to make money. It was to collect collectors and build that fan base. And so, but what's interesting now, I think I listed it, let's say for one Tez, it was either 0.1 Tez or one Tez. Mm-hmm. It was 0.1 Tez times 100. And I think at the time, I don't know, it was one Tez times 100, $300.
So we're talking like cents.
One Tez was $3 at the time.
Oh, okay.
Now it's $6. I sold 100 of them, so I made $300, right? Conversions, man. I think in crypto now. I don't think in dollars.
I know.
But
I'm worried about that warp in my mind.
But so I was selling them for one Tez on the primary market. And now on the secondary market, the edition is closed and it's such a good image that they're flipping secondary, right?
Nice.
And people have flipped it for like 10 Tez.
Oh,
and,
really?
And my cut is bigger than my initial one Tez. My cut would be two Tez. So I'm getting paid twice.
So you're getting like 20% of that, but the 20% of a bigger piece of the pie.
Basically. Right. Yeah. And so whenever I do like my cheap giveaways, I increase my royalties. Mm-hmm. So it would be like 20 or 25%, especially if it's free, I'd do 25%.
For sure.
But normally I do 15%.
Okay.
It's kind of the standard on this platform. Some platforms are lower than that. Some are like 10, some are one, which is kind of crazy.
Wow.
But it's important. So as a collector, when I go and collect art, I look at the edition size. I love it if it's less than 10. Mm-hmm. You know, that's very scarce. And then the price, is it priced right to where if I wanted to sell it, could I flip it? Is the brand of the artist big enough that there's enough impulse to buy it if I tried to flip it? You know, consider these. And then also, do I like the art, you know? And so these are all things that an artist needs to think about before they put a price.
So if you're collecting, sorry to interrupt, but if you're collecting from somebody, because the whole thing is about digital scarcity, right? Are you making a better investment if there's fewer of them as a digital collector, as an NFT collector?
Right. So I have different platforms that I work on. My ETH platforms, Foundation, Known Origin, OpenSea. Mm-hmm. Known Origin, Foundation. I'm kind of done with Foundation. I'm not really crazy about how well they interact with their community. Known Origin is really good with their community of artists.
And Known Origin?
Known Origin, yeah. And what I usually do on the ETH platforms, that's where I sell my one-of-ones at high prices. On Hikid Nunc, and really everywhere, especially when you're starting to build your community, one-of-ones are not super valuable for you because you want to collect collectors. We don't want it to just end up in one person's hand that's going to hold it forever and then maybe die in a car accident and then it never sells.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's like buying one of your paintings for very cheap. It's just gone. Right. It's done.
Like the value lies in the relationships that you build with collectors and their ability to flip it. That's where that's the real value of NFTs. I mean, in like 16 years of doing body painting and all the gallery shows that I've done, I don't know, maybe once or twice, if any of my art has sold on the secondary market in real life.
Right.
But now in NFTs, it's flipped over, well over 500 times.
Oh, wow.
Pieces. Like, people are making crazy money off of the art that they buy.
Yeah, it would be like if you were a semi-well-known painter and you sold a piece to a collector, and then down the road they auctioned it at Sotheby's or something, and then right. you got 20% of that auction for like $10, but they right. don't do that. So,
and there's this well, Sotheby's is in the crypto world, so
oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah.
They have a museum in Decentraland.
Do they?
Yeah, and it's pretty cool.
They're actually playing by all those rules too, then.
Oh yeah, they get it. There's a collector, a real life collector. Her name is Kabline on Twitter, C-A-B-L-I-N-E. I'm really mm-hmm. fascinated by what she's said. She's a big crypto collector now, big NFT collector. And she was a collector first in the art world, a real life collector, and then became an NFT collector. And she's expressed how much more efficient and easier it is to handle collecting and flipping NFTs because you don't have to deal with appraisals.
Of storage, course.
Yeah. Storage, damage, authenticity, all that is no longer an issue.
The authenticity is already verified.
It's locked.
Yeah.
It's locked on the blockchain. There's no question about it. There's no hacking it, at least to my knowledge.
That makes complete sense.
So all of a sudden you have a way, way more efficient way to sell your art. And like you said, you missed my opening because you were packing art. Like, I'm, so done. I'm done. I'm yeah. done making prints. I'm not going to make another print. I mean, if someone requests a print, I'll print it for them. But it's like, I'm not going to make prints for art shows anymore.
Well, I was going to even ask you a follow-up on that. Like, do you even now kind of go, oh, I got to go paint another body? Like,
sometimes yeah. because this world is so fast-paced, but I'm kind of thankful that I have something that has to stop me.
Yeah.
You can be stuck on your computer networking 12 hours, 20 hours, you know, if you don't stop yourself.
It's time like, management. Yeah.
It feels like every minute away is a minute lost from networking, you know?
Well, and also, but on the flip side too, even with like NFTs, for example, there is this anxiety that sets in of like, oh my God, I'm not doing the right thing. I'm not doing enough. I got to be on this. I got to be doing this. I got to be doing. And that's what freaks me out. It kind of keeps me up some nights when I start thinking about it. And I don't want to like, be one of those people who like an old school person who's like, oh, I'm just going to stick with the painting, because at some point, I don't think painting and physical painting or physical art is going to go away. But I do think a big piece of the pie is going to be taken away at least. And right. you have to be, you know, kind of stupid to not jump on the NFT bandwagon at some point.
I feel like it's kind of like records right now, how there's still that bunch of people that adore records.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's a resurgence. There's like, oh, records became trendy again. Like maybe physical paintings right. will become trendy, but it's still a limited market.
Right. And I can say back when I started in March, I totally understood and saw the path of NFTs, mm-hmm. but I had the same kind of like when I first went into the metaverse, I was randomly invited to do an art show in April. And I went in there, got a tour and started understanding a little bit, and someone came up to me with their digital glasses on their avatar, and they were cool. I was like, oh, those are cool. Where do you get those? I didn't see yeah. that on the create your avatar thing. And he was like, oh, you got to buy these. These were $800. And I was like, what?
Oh my God.
So you paid $800 for digital sunglasses? And so to me, it was like, that's crazy. But now I'm like, I get it. That's not
dude, crazy. I wish I had those digital glasses.
Because human nature is you buy clothes and fashion to show off who you are, you know, in a way.
Status. Right? Yeah.
People are like human nature also. Collecting is like almost everybody collects something, whether it's mm-hmm. toothpicks or ceramic dolls or whatever, you know.
Toilet paper.
Everyone has their thing. And all of a sudden it's come together in this world. And like I had my show, my Metaverse Decentraland art opening, and I was like, I can't just wear my regular clothes. I gotta buy
right
something to wear, right? And so I bought a mummy costume because it was pretty much all I could afford, and it was only like $40.
Oh, that's cool.
I can use it anytime. It's cool. And really, like all marketing and business that are doing things right, they're watching what the kids are doing, right? And kids have been doing this for years in their games, Roblox, Minecraft.
Oh, yeah.
You buy virtual clothing, you buy certain things. That you
NFTs can are actually been around for a long time.
Right. And so it's the same exact thing. And guess who's coming in with the next generation and with this being normal, you know?
Well,
and
all the corporations, they're all jumping on the bandwagon.
Right. Yeah. Everybody's getting into it now. And I wasn't early in March, you know, but I was more early than they were. And I was able to build my fan base to a point where I'm now making weekly money consistently. Yeah. And I no longer accept commissions for body painting at this time. I try not to have to ship anything or pack anything or get out of my chair.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry to get personal, but are you making enough to sustain yourself just off of NFTs right now?
I am. I'm making more than I've ever made in my life.
Really?
It's incredible.
All right, we got to stop. I'm getting on. No, like I see a lot of possibilities, even with like, I don't know how this would translate, but like with podcast universe, even like somehow getting some behind the scenes style stuff. I wanted to ask you about like artists, for example. A lot of people think, oh, I've got to be a digital artist to do NFTs, but you can doing prints. Like for me, I could take one of my most popular, like let's say I'd take my Heisenberg Pop Surrealist piece. I turn that into an NFT, like a limited edition. That's a great place to start, right?
Yeah. Oh, you can do anything. There's no rules against anybody. Everybody comes in with these weird excuses that they're making in their head.
But yeah.
This is my reel of animated NFTs that I bought. But
I've been watching it.
I have tons of static photos and paintings that are just gorgeous, you know? And again, sometimes the brand is so strong on those that you not only do you want to buy it because you love it, but you buy it because it's a really good investment, you know? Mm-hmm. And what's funny is like, I bought all these NFTs with profit and like the initial money that I put in it, I've made back tenfold. And it's like I didn't spend any money to get here.
And also you said you weren't early and I dipped my toes in early on, like about when you were doing it. And then I got kind of freaked out. I was busy. I also hurt my back. And I was like, I just couldn't process it at the time. And I even got on and I started doing the Coinbase. And then I had a little bit of a weird hacking thing that kind of freaked me out.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. So I want to ask you a couple things about that. But also just to say, it's still early. Like if you listen to any NFT expert or any crypto expert, it's early.
I just don't know. But supposedly that's what they say. But I just, this part of me is like, if you can say it's still early, it's probably not. You know, that's how I feel, you know?
Right, right.
I think it's early versus the mainstream, but I don't know. There was that big boom in March.
We haven't seen
a boom like that again. I guess Beeple is getting, I heard he's going to be in Sotheby's again, so maybe there'll be another boom. I don't know, but I don't know.
Don't you think that's just weeding people out though?
There's waves. So there's times, and I think it's all relevant to the value of cryptocurrency when collectors want to spend and buy. It's really interesting, but what's for certain is there's still consistency, whether it's high or low. I'm still selling NFTs. There's a lot of people interested in it. Mm-hmm. My opening last night in this gallery show blew my mind.
Yeah, you were saying you had like 1,000 people, right?
I had 700 confirmed. That I can keep track of. I think I'll be able to check analytics on Monday, maybe. But I suspect over 1,000 people showed up. But I'm just saying 700 because that's what I know for sure.
Well, and also like compare that to a physical opening,
right?
When you have to get people to show up, it's so hard.
My best physical show was at Resin in Hermosa Beach, and that was my Halloween show in 2019. Mm-hmm. That had 500 people RSVP.
Yeah,
and I think maybe 300 to 500 showed up.
But that's really good.
It was incredible.
Yeah, that's really
good. And I was like, I'll never, ever be able to top that, I don't think. And here we go last night, digitally, in the metaverse. And people are still going in. I mean, you went in there an hour
today,
ago.
Yeah, it was cool.
There was like 5 people in there. Every time I go check, make sure things are working, there's people in there.
Yeah, so when I checked it out, I was like, man, I got so inspired by it that I was like, I got to talk to Paul. I was like, hoping you'd be available today so we could talk about this. Because I wanted to talk about NFTs, but then I saw this and I was like, this is like a whole other realm. Like how did you build that? Did you build it or
was
it?
That was a pain in the ass.
Okay. All right. All right.
So, I mean, if you know me at all, you know, I can obsess.
First of all,
things.
Sorry. I want to just, for anybody who doesn't know Paul Rustan, I have an episode early on where I interview him. He's a world famous body painter, photographer. Check out the episode, but you're now getting into NFT. So I just want to make sure people, if they want to check out your other stuff, they can do that. But sorry, go ahead.
So I'm a pretty obsessive person, and I research everything, and I dig in deep like a tick. And
yeah,
building land on Decentraland was not easy. Of all the things I've done, it was not easy. And there's just all these I had to learn programming a little bit. I had to
learn coding.
I'm learning 3D now a little bit. And wow. Like there's that one dancing model that you saw at the gallery.
Yeah.
That was hard to do for me. Even with all the tutorials on how to use Blender, it was like, God. And I ended up having to hire someone on Fiverr to just make that hip motion for me. Mm-hmm. Because I just couldn't figure it out in the moment with the time. And unfortunately, I didn't get that ready for the opening, but I received it today and popped it up. But it was hard. It was hard. There's a basic builder within Decentraland that's it's not as hard. It's a little easier, but it's still kind of like there's a learning curve.
And does it have limitations?
It has a lot of limitations.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually bought an NFT from Last Slice Company. It's a developer's NFT, and I had to pay like $800 for it.
Oh, wow.
But it gives me developer help. It gives me this community of developers and people I can network with. And
oh, that's cool.
And it paid off. This guy, the one who runs it, Lostrum, is his name. He's actually here in LA. And he's helped me so much over the last 2 weeks working out the kinks, making sure things are working smoothly. And but everything as far as designing the building, the stairs and everything, that was all me.
Wow.
But I just had so many technical issues that I could not figure out.
Well, that's another thing that like I always talk about is as an artist nowadays, like to make a living, you have to wear so many hats. And that's just another version of that. Like I had to learn some coding for website design, you know, animation. I did a whole year in animation. So this is just another version of that. Like,
yeah. And it'll get easier for sure. Cause this, what surprises me is with all the connections I made in the NFT world, like 96% of those people hadn't explored Decentraland yet. And to me, that was kind of mind-blowing. I guess I got really lucky being invited in April, which gave me the exposure to it. And last weekend was the first Decentraland Metaverse Music Festival. And it had like Deadmau and Paris Hilton was DJing.
Oh, really?
And the developers just went to town on the design of the stages and lighting and everything. And it was the most incredible thing ever.
It's like instead of her doing it at Ibiza or whatever, she's now doing it Decentraland.
And I was like standing there like, God, this is better than a real music festival. Like if you set up a screen with good audio.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to deal with people puking the heat or whatever.
Right.
You know, and
filling
it's just
your
like,
back, standing you there
just
the whole time.
Sit on your couch and watch it. And it was mind blowing. Like the sets that they designed and the lighting, I don't know if it's affordable, like possible. In the real world, it was insane.
Well, I know that Paris Hilton was getting into the whole crypto arena and like NFTs. She's actually has like I have a friend who's a female artist from Portugal, and she was just announcing how she had one of her NFTs in a collection by Paris Hilton. It's like,
yeah, I know about that. Yeah. Paris she's really in it.
She's up on things. Yeah,
she's doing it right. She's probably doing it better than any celebrity out there.
Really,
and, she's really smart, and she's a really amazing person.
She is smart. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for her. I never thought would have in the past, but I have a lot of respect for her.
Yeah, and I saw her documentary, and it's very revealing to.
I saw
her
it too.
True personality.
Yeah, yeah.
But she knows what she's doing in the metaverse and with NFTs, and that's. I mean, it made like I had no. Question why she was doing Decentraland Music Festival. It was like, of course she is.
That. Right. Exactly. So, yeah.
Then I had to follow that festival and I got all these wearables. Like we were talking about the $800 sunglasses. I got like the music festival t-shirts. I got hats. I got glasses and shoes and stuff. And I ended up selling those all for profit. And then I bought my mummy costume.
Oh, damn.
You know, so it's like, it's just such a cool world where you can flip things and make a profit or reinvest.
Sure.
And my strategy from the beginning was always when I make a sale, part of that goes to supporting other artists, which is why I have now such a nice collection of NFTs.
Well, and that's another just kind of physical question, like in the physical world, how do you go about buying a screen like that? Like, where do you get those?
Oh, that's just a Samsung frame TV. It's it's on Amazon. It's built to look like a picture frame.
Oh, cool.
And so when I turn it off, it plays my photo collection very slowly.
Wow.
And this looks like in person, like if you walked into this room and saw the photos, you would have no idea it was a TV.
Oh, really?
It looks
that's
like
really cool.
Looks like a photo that's framed with a float mount.
And it's, right. So, but for anybody who's listening is going like, well, how you can't collect NFTs like you can a physical piece. There's your answer right there. You can have multiple pieces.
And I prefer this big time. And
really?
Because I have so much art that I've bought sitting in boxes.
Yeah.
Because I have no more wall space to show it or whatever,
sure.
You know, and like this is amazing.
It allows you to have like a variety of pieces. And it's like, I don't know, it's minimalistic, right? Like you don't have to just completely crowd your wall. I mean, you can do that with art too. You can be very selective, or you could go this route.
Well, there's now there's all these companies trying to produce the NFT displays that are perfect for it. Right now, like we need a square screen. There's a lot of NFTs that are square, you know, bigger, better. And of course, because demand is not so high, the prices are higher. Like this was like a $600 TV, you know?
Oh, it's yeah.
It's not as high quality as like a regular TV that you could buy with crazy 6K or whatever like that, you know?
But you just said it, the quality's great.
Quality's great. You know, it's a little small for what I'd like, but this is what's available at the moment and more is coming in the future. And I just wanted to get that up, you know?
For sure.
And that's how I feel about like if I did a gallery show now, I would take a display. Before I bought my land in Decentraland, I had this idea floating in my head of running an NFT gallery where I would just buy the screens and then invite the artists from all over the world with their NFTs. And then there's no packing, there's no shipping. You just pop it on the screen, you're good to go. Buy it digitally if you like it.
But you took that a step further.
Yeah, because I was like, damn, I don't want to deal with like rent and mortgage and
exactly
whatever crazy overheads. Like, even though they wouldn't be as annoying as a normal gallery, you know, a traditional gallery, I didn't want to deal with that. So that kind of like kept me away from doing that. And then I saw the opportunity to buy this land.
Also, you're cutting out the middleman though, because like if you go into like a physical gallery that's NFT and then you're like, I want to buy that piece. You're like, well, then you have to go and log on here and then buy it. Whereas if you have it already digitally, they can just, I don't know, walk me through how they buy it.
Which happened last night at my show. This show was more a celebration of the grand opening of the gallery. So I wasn't trying to sell anything. And so I it was also, you know, combined with Halloween. Mm-hmm. And so all the work that I had on display was sold out. Like it's on secondary now.
Oh, cool.
Before I had the show. But still, I made it so that you can look at the pictures in this world and you just click on it and you get access to buy it on the secondary market.
Yeah, I saw one of the avatars like flipping money at it. Was that what that was?
No. Those are some emotes that you can do within Decentraland.
Oh, okay.
But a few people bought some really expensive secondary pieces, you know, and I got my cut off of that, which was a nice surprise.
Oh, that's awesome.
So what I didn't expect anyone to buy, because HEN is not really a common platform NFT within the Decentraland metaverse. They're more into OpenSea and ETH.
Yeah.
They all have ETH and they all have mana and they're into OpenSea. So my next show is going to be ETH NFTs, probably the additions on OpenSea and then maybe a few one of ones on the top floor. And we'll see how that goes. But I have a feeling, especially the additions are going to sell much better in the metaverse. And if that happens, that's a huge game changer.
That's amazing. So I've got so many questions. When I started out, I was OpenSea and I looked into Foundation. So you're basically saying that these just have different, like you would use one for one thing and another for a different thing, basically.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can do anything you want. You can sell one of ones in OpenSea. Right now, OpenSea to me has the biggest advantage because it's most well known and they don't take a lot of fees. You can lazy mint. So you pay a one-time fee to connect your wallet and use ETH on their platform. And then you can list your NFT without paying the gas fees, which right now are crazy.
Oh, wow.
It would cost you like $150 to upload your art on any other platform.
Really?
Yeah. And on Foundation, you have to pay the minting fee, which is uploading it, and the listing fee, which is making it available for purchase. And then you have to, like, there's all these fees, but Foundation takes 15% of the sale. Mm-hmm. OpenSea takes, I think, 2.5%. So to me, right there, it's like, I want to keep my whatever the difference is, 12.5%.
For sure. And it's like an easier entry point for a lot of people.
Oh, for sure. With the lazy minting, it's good. So basically, when you upload a file, it's not officially minted on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
That happens
when
someone buys it.
Yeah.
So when someone buys it, they pay the gas fees, which could be $200 on top of whatever the cost of the NFT is. If you accept an offer that someone makes, you have to pay for the gas fees. But if you have it listed for like $1,000, you might be like $200. Okay, whatever, I'll take it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. OpenSea is just really good. But the way I've been using it is Foundation and Known Origin I was using for one of ones, and OpenSea I was using for editions, trying to build a fan base on OpenSea like I did on Hiketnunk, and using the low price edition strategy. And I haven't focused too much on that because gas prices to me are just insane. And so I'm sticking with Hiketnunk, which is Tezos. It's a different platform. So the gas fees are like 30 cents.
And can you explain just really quickly what a gas fee is?
So a gas fee, it's called a gas fee because that's what's used to power the blockchain, like gas in a car.
Mm-hmm.
And those are fees that go to the miners to put things on the blockchain.
Mm-hmm.
And so when a lot of transactions are happening at one moment, the gas prices go up a lot sometimes, insane amounts sometimes.
Just because of the workload?
Yeah. And basically, the miners accept the highest bidders for their transaction. Okay. So if it's super high and you ask to submit a low gas fee, because you could choose fast, middle, slow.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do slow, your transaction might fail. Nobody might accept it. And so you're kind of encouraged to go the highest you can to get your transaction to go through. Because if your transaction fails, you lose that money.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. So it's great. Like, to me, that's all just a huge headache. I hate dealing with that. But I'm aware that I have ETH collectors out there that want stuff. So I have my stuff available. And really, that's where it all is. HEN is amazing for building communities. And I'm making just as much money on HEN as I've made on ETH, but in like spurts. Or ETH, I'll get one big buy, you know.
But it's good to have that kind of, like we were talking about before, being a little diversified. So you've got some kind of consistent coming in, and then you got a big one come in.
Definitely. Every ETH sale of mine is a big bonus.
Yeah.
HEN is my consistent moneymaker, and it's been great.
So for any skeptics out there, we should ask a couple like skeptical questions, right? I'm sure you get those all the time.
Oh, yeah. I just think in my head when I hear anything from them, I'm just like, oh, yeah. You'll eventually assimilate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just fear of the unknown, just like everything. But I think there are people who are concerned. I know I got concerned. I wasn't like, it didn't put me off it. I was just too busy to keep going. But like the Coinbase thing, the kind of little hacking thing, somebody was already getting at me.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any concern for people being able to, because it links up with your bank account, like being able to take money from you or, you know, identity theft. For I know sure. blockchain
there's,
is.
There's written. Lots of scammers. You have to be very vigilant. You have to be very careful. You never share your seed phrase, which you get when you first sign up, and you need to write that on paper and put that in a safe or something. You don't put that on your computer. Don't take a screenshot, because these scammers they're smart and they'll get you without you even knowing. So you just have to be very, very vigilant. And it is a problem, and it happens. Hasn't happened to me, knock on wood, but.
But people actually getting
I'm
money
less worried
taken
about
out of their
my,
account.
I'm less worried about my bank account than I am about my crypto account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's like hardware wallets that you're supposed to get to help protect your crypto more, you know, that you detach from your computer. It's almost like a flash drive, I guess. I don't have one. I need to get one. But
it's like a kind of like a firewall type thing. Yeah, right.
I actually converted my crypto back to fiat yesterday. Because right now the value of ETH is going up a lot. And I don't know how far it's going to go. I'm pretty sure I pulled out too early. But, you know, these coming waves, there's going to be a big spike and then a big crash. And
yeah.
So I pulled out at double what I put in. So I made double what I initially invested.
You have always had really good timing. Well, and I know, and I don't mean that, but I don't mean that to say, oh, you're lucky. Like, I think you have a good eye and a good instinct for a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
like, even when we were talking about it's instinct. Yeah. And Mags and I, my wife and I have been like that in certain other investments. But like, for example, even when you were getting onto YouTube, we were talking about you kind of hitting with, what was it, Google Plus? I think we were talking about.
Oh yeah. Google Plus.
You've had good timing and good instincts on that. So I think listening to Paul on this is a good way to go.
There's a high percentage of success.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't but also, mean that it'll happen, but there's a high percentage.
For sure. But for, so that brings me to my other skeptic question that you probably get a lot, which is what happens if all these cryptocurrencies just get devalued overnight, right?
Yeah. Who knows? We'll see. I really don't. It could happen. I really don't foresee that happening. Mm-hmm. You watch the trend since the beginning and it goes up and down and it goes up and down, but it's going up.
It's trending upwards. Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
And people are very optimistic about that. And I try not to always listen to people from within the crypto world
because
we all tend to be optimistic about that thing.
Yeah.
But that's why I mentioned instinct. And so what seems to trend is when you get a high spike and everyone's going crazy, dancing like monkeys, it's usually followed by an insane drop.
It's like the stock market.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And my gut says we're due for a hard crash.
Mm-hmm.
So I took my money out.
They haven't found a way to do like a short sale on NFTs at this point, selling on the way down.
It's crazy, man. Like Elon Musk, whenever he makes a tweet about crypto, it changes the market. He's got this weird, you know, people pay attention to that.
But you can use that for your own gain too.
And that's what he does.
You know what I mean?
He intentionally makes a tweet to make profit. He buys out before he makes the tweet and then he buys at the dip.
And they're not regulated on that as much, are they? Yeah.
Right. How could they be? Right. Like, how can you regulate that? What?
Yeah.
Elon Musk made a tweet. Like, how do you regulate that? It's like, it's a smart move, you know, and he's just creating more capital.
But that's why it's a brave new world, because at some point they're going to have to find a way to regulate almost like public opinion. It's almost like insider trading. If you're giving valuable information, right?
It is. Definitely. For sure. But what's cool is the community that I built on Discord and Twitter and everything. Like, we're constantly chatting with each other. And so I can go in there and be like, hey, how are you guys feeling? My gut instinct says we're going to get a crash.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? And then you got people who are really invested in researching crypto. And then you got other people with similar gut feelings. And it helps you sort of decide what to do. You know?
That's another good reason to have a good community then.
Yes.
Definitely. Yeah. But you also have to decipher, because not everybody has the best instincts either. But I guess balancing it out with instincts and people who are doing the research.
Of course.
Of course.
But so man, there's some intelligent people in this world.
Oh my God.
It's like, I mean, just to get on it, it's so hard to get in it, to understand how to set up. All that is so hard. Like I said, setting up my Decentraland thing was one of the hardest things I ever had to do, I think, in my life.
Well, forget that even, but just getting in and figuring out, like, if you're going to try to mint your first NFT, that's already scary enough for a lot of people. Just be like, I'm not doing it.
Right.
You know,
are in it, they did it. They did that. So they're smart to that level, at least.
That's their skin in the game.
Yes.
Yeah.
So like, I trust that a lot.
For sure. If you've got enough people putting in that much time, you know, and resources, like, that's the thing, because it's crypto is basically, we all, a big group of people have decided that we are going to attribute this amount of value to this, right? Basically, I mean, I know there's much smarter people than me that know a lot more than that, but really, that's what it is. We've all agreed that this has value, correct? And it's not unlike art in general.
Right. I don't know what happened this last week, but I had like two people text me on the same day asking to meet with me and talk about NFTs.
Oh, really?
And I don't know if there's a word is spreading more now amongst the mainstream or something, but
definitely.
Something's happening.
I think for me, I was like I told you, I was waiting for the dust to settle a bit and just see, because I know there was like, whether that was like a micro bubble or whatever, there was a bubble. Like people were just flooding into the market and a lot of people were making obscene amounts of money. Yep. And I wanted to wait for that to kind of settle down.
I was sitting there watching everybody around me in the same community score. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I didn't sell my first NFT for 5 months.
You know, really?
My first big sale.
Yeah.
I sold on Hikit Nunc for like after 2 months, and it was all the chips, you know, the crumbs.
Yeah.
But everyone I knew, 2 ETH, 1 ETH, 5 ETH, you know, it's like tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And some of them are 18 years old. Imagine being 18 years old and selling an NFT for $10,000.
Dude, you're just like, this is easy. This is how it is, you know?
And I was like, well, I was like, whatever. I feel this culture. It works for my art form perfectly. I'm in. And I didn't give up. And actually, if there's one piece of advice I could give anybody under any medium that they're trying to be successful over, and I know this through my experience with YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and NFTs now, is the keys to success are patience and consistency. Don't live off of results. Create a habit out of creating one video a week on YouTube, irrelevant to how many views or likes you get. Just do it. Do it for 2 years, once a week. And one of those videos should go viral.
For sure. And then that's one of those things that like I'm always talking about. I'm so glad you said that. Consistency, at least. That's for me. Like when people ask me how I make money on the art marketplaces, it's consistency. Like, yes, you have to have quality, of course, but like you have to have some level of talent, I think, in the art world. But even though it's subjective, art is subjective and taste is subjective. But I think there is a general level of talent you need to have. And then a lot of it's just doing what you say you're going to do and consistency, consistently uploading, getting in with the algorithm. That's it for me. And now I sell like I'm on my like 531st sale or whatever. You know what I mean? But like I tell people, and people do the same thing that you're doing or that you're talking to people about. They just try it for a month or two and they're like, no, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, they don't see the results. They give up too quick.
And exactly.
A month is nothing.
It's nothing. I didn't make my first sale online until a year and a half.
There was this funny moment on Discord in the foundation Discord. And I've been sitting there for 5 months without a sale, making tons of friends all over the world, you know. And this random person comes in. Every day someone comes in. How do we get on the front page of foundation? How do I get my work featured? I haven't made a sale yet. What am I doing wrong? You know, people come in every day asking those questions. And this person came in, we'd never seen him before, because it's almost like everybody's super friendly. But when a stranger comes in, you still try to be friendly. But a lot of newbies come in with these crazy demands, you know. A lot of people don't do it on Discord, but it was kind of common on Foundation where if you click your name, you can see all your links to Twitter and everything, your website, whatever. You
know? Yeah.
Most other Discords, they're not aware of that you can do that, you know. And so a newbie would come in, you click their name, you can't even see their art, you know. And this person was like, I don't know what's happening. I can't make a sale. What's going on? I was like, well, first things first, man, we've never met you before.
Right.
Like,
we can't see your art.
How can we see your art if we don't know who you are?
Yeah.
How can anyone see your art if they don't know how to find it? And like add your links to your name and connect your Twitter so that we can get to your Twitter and see what's going on, you know? And then so before he did that, I was like, and if you have less than 1,000 followers on Twitter, and you're complaining about not making a sale, I'm going to be very upset.
For sure, man.
And he had 30 followers.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then that's not like, the follower shame, but it's like you haven't put in the work.
Right. You got to put the work in. You got to build the fam. You got to build the reach. You got to market yourself.
Yeah.
Get it out. Like these things, like you see in the press, $69 million Beeple sale. And 18-year-old sells for $10,000 and this and this and that and that. Everybody thinks these are overnight successes.
Yeah,
all
never.
These people have worked their ass off to get there.
Even the 18-year-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
Ferocious, you know, Ferocious.
Yeah.
It's like an 18-year-old artist just sold in Christie's, I think, for like, or Sotheby's, I can't remember which one, for like $3 million. Something like
Damn,
that.
Man. I mean,
good. His ass off. You watch any tutorial
about good for
him and he says the same things that I'm saying about build community, make friends. And really, again, in the NFT world, I highly recommend you cut out expectation, let that go. That'll create depression if you make a post and you expect to sell it and it doesn't sell. Like, to me, the goal is have as much fun as you can, build as big a community, build a lot of relationships, have a good time, and sales will come from that.
So
don't
true.
Let sales be your focus. Don't have expectations of sales because it could start off really slow.
Yeah. It's a healthy byproduct of it. It's the same thing with a podcast. Like if I started doing this podcast just to monetize and make a killing,
Dude,
I would have given up my third or fourth episode. Like most podcasts don't make it past the fifth episode. This is going to be like 92. And that's I do awesome. It consistently every
Congratulations.
Week. That's Thanks, awesome. Man. But that's it. And I haven't made money off of it. I mean, maybe someday I will. Great. But you should be doing it because you like doing it too.
Right.
you know, and
for
and
me, yeah. I got that YouTube insight because for me, YouTube was just a place to post my videos.
Right.
I didn't really care about building subscribers and stuff. And so I would just randomly throw my videos up there since 2014 or something.
Yeah.
And before I knew it, it grew without me like making the effort, but I was doing the work.
You're doing the work.
And my motivation wasn't subscribers or money because I can't even get money on my channel. And here I'm at almost 120,000 subscribers. And, you know, like two years ago is when I really realized its value and really created the habit of making one video a week.
Yeah.
And being consistent and not getting suckered into expectations and all those things.
You know? I wanted to ask you about that. Like, I know we're talking more about NFTs, but I know that YouTube kind of changed their whole, whatever, the advertising monetization.
Yeah.
You know,
that
whatever
was funny when that
model,
happened.
Like,
that was
like, do you get paid like 20, now?
No, I don't.
Oh, still.
I only, because of the nudity. And even if there is no nudity, if it is sexual to someone's eyes, you can't get paid. It has to be like rated G.
I thought I heard that they could do it now with the subscription based thing. Like you got a piece of the pie.
If it was the red.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know for sure about that. They were trying to build like the Patreon model.
Yeah.
On their site. And I don't know about nudity.
Oh, Paul, sorry. I think I got. Oh, never mind. I thought it was FedEx. It's USPS. Screw USPS.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to investigate that a little bit, but I'm killing it on Patreon. Patreon's been amazing, and that's all based on my YouTube following.
Right.
So I'm consistently producing on Patreon too, and making good money on that site, and it's just all working out.
Hustling, great. Man. That's what people have to understand, and also like. To go back to what we were saying before, don't be a hater. Like if you see these people getting success, just understand that most of them, 99.9% of them have worked for it and it's not an overnight success story. And even if it is, just, you know, throw them some love. Like, hey, good for you. Sure. This is something that's possible for all of us to do. You know,
and what's cool is if you do that, it becomes second nature. And like the people you meet, they become your family. So you do genuinely get excited when they get their sale.
Yeah.
And you'll get yours.
Put for in the
work,
sure, man.
You'll get yours. Just you got to do the work, and you really got to just be positive. And it really is an awesome community. Like the people are really great. It's like 97% awesome people, and then a few lemons. But compared to like other things, it's insane. You know.
That's what I've heard. I was always kind of averse to like putting a lot of effort into Twitter because I was just like, I'm used to all the political BS on there and people and hating and like trolls. Right. And then I've heard from multiple people, you included, that the NFT community on there is really positive and supportive.
It's so great. And so basically everyone I follow is NFT. And so I hardly ever see anything political. I don't see any trolling or fighting. It's pretty awesome.
That's cool.
I think you find your niche and then you go after that, you know, For me, Twitter, like a year ago, I'd be like, Twitter? Screw Twitter.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was like. Yeah.
But now, to me, one of the greatest social media platforms ever. Google Plus, to me, was number one.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate that it failed.
It is unfortunate. I know. But
Twitter is right up top now.
Twitter has had like a resurgence. It's crazy.
I think it was always there, but I just didn't notice it.
But I've heard even from people like writers and stuff like that, there's such a community now. If you really plug into a specific community,
there's
a lot of support there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
Well, let me ask you just maybe one or two more questions because I don't want to take up all your time because we did this like, this was completely impromptu. So if I missed out on a couple big NFT questions, that's why. But on the digital real estate you bought with Decentraland, do you have plans on like, monetizing that, for example, like, somebody wants to have a solo show with me. Would that be something where you would actually take a cut of that or?
Yeah. So for now, I have a couple shows lined up for other people.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm just testing things out. So I'm just going to ask them for a tip if they make sales, like throw me a tip.
Cool.
But what's cool is like, I mean, I have to pay. So in my land, I had that video with the DJ for my Halloween show playing on the second floor. Unfortunately, I can't embed a YouTube video into Decentraland. It has to be a specific type of connection. And so I have to use Amazon S3. So I have to pay for the bandwidth for that. Mm. So this show with 20 with potentially 1,000 people that came through last night cost me about $20, which is not
bad. Wow. That's just nothing.
But that along with the cost for the developer help, you know, was all I had to pay. But so once I get this all worked out, it won't cost me more than $40 to have a show.
That's amazing.
Where my Halloween show costs like $5,000, you know, zero rent. I mean, I bought it straight out for a lot of money, but it was because the location. It's on the map of Decentraland. There's a little Decentraland logo that looks, it's almost like the Hollywood sign on the map. Mm-hmm. And my gallery is in the first N. So I paid double for that location. And
oh, wow.
So the N wraps around my parcel, which means nobody can build around me except for this one block at the bottom of my land. So I spent
really?
More. I spent more for that because you can buy a
prime real estate.
You could buy a piece of land kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but it's completely surrounded by other available parcels.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you have no control over who builds next to you. Someone might build like a wall against your spot in every direction. And it's
you
like,
want to know who your neighbors are, man.
Right, right. So I have control of 90% of my, you know, surroundings.
That's nice. So cool. Yeah.
So that's amazing. I went a little extra price-wise on that, but I feel like it was worth it.
Don't you think that's going to start climbing too? Like the cost of that?
Potentially. Yeah. It really depends. And that was one thing, obviously, that I considered when I bought it, but I'm willing to lose it all like I'm at a casino.
Yeah.
For me, it's more about the experience.
That's smart.
Zero expectations. I doubt I'll lose it all. I'll be able to sell it whenever I want. I'm most likely to sell it for less than I paid, but the potential is there for it to skyrocket and pay for my kids, whatever.
Yeah, but also you're using it in the
right.
meantime.
Like right.
in the
interim, I will make money. I will.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to make like whether you're making money off the gallery or people buying some of your stuff in your own shows, it'll pay for itself.
Well, the other thing, like we were saying earlier, is about the wearables, right? So my next show, I have to work on this. I just ran out of time. I was hoping to do it for this show, but I'm going to have a wearable available that people can buy, and it's going to be body painting.
Cool.
So their avatar can be body painted.
That's awesome.
And so my next show, I'm going to do giveaways where a certain amount of people will be able to get it for free, and then it'll be available for purchase. And I'm going to do it for cheap, like I did my hen thing, because people wearing it, they're going to walk around and they're basically going to be advertising for me. Where did you get that from? Oh, from this gallery.
Right.
You know, and so, and that can grow. That's money. The wearable industry within Decentraland, it's pretty big.
Really?
Yeah. There's it's money like spent and earned like crazy. It's NFTs.
Digital merch.
Those are NFTs that are available on OpenSea that you can put on. You know?
Wow. Well, I think that's the thing that I love about this whole arena is that the possibilities are endless. Like you're only limited by your imagination, basically.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
I love that. So I want to get in there. And so what would you say to people like me, maybe even less than me, who haven't even started or dipped their toes in it, don't know anything about it. Like, what would you say to get started? What's an easy way just to get started?
I would do Hikidunk, even though it's a pain in the ass to sign on and it's very glitchy. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the same experience with that. It's awful to sign on. The user interface is janky. Mm-hmm. And they hate it. But then once you are on and riding that bike and you start to understand the community, it has this charm that is just amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
And then you just start with my strategy of low pricing. retweet,
community.
Share, community. Go out there and support whoever you can. Buy pieces you like. They're cheap. You know, make this little investment. Like if you go in there with $1,000, you're going to do well. If you go in there with $100, you can be very successful. You can go in there with $10 and not ever buy NFT and make some profit. But I feel like the more you give, the more you get. And I feel like you should authentically give. Don't do it for the sake of getting. Be genuine, be authentic, and be a good person, you know?
Yeah. Just like in the normal art world too, the physical art world, you could apply all those things to that.
Yeah. That's what I would do. That doesn't necessarily mean it's the correct thing.
No, but it is. I mean, it's a really strong path.
I think the way I roll.
Dude, I'm the same way. I would definitely follow that advice. Paul's doing well. So just try it. Try the blueprint.
It's funny too, because so Hikidunk Tezos. What's cool about Tezos too is it's green. It's environmentally friendly.
Oh, cool.
Which is why the gas fees are so low. It's proof of work is the good one, I think. It's proof of stake and proof of work. I think proof of ETH is, I can't remember which is which. One of them is work, whatever. Yeah. It's a type of mining on the blockchain. One uses a lot of energy. Mm-hmm. The other doesn't, you know? And so Tezos.
Energy in what terms?
The amount of power consumption it takes to mine Bitcoin and do transactions is a lot.
Like, for example, the servers and electricity, all that?
Yeah, exactly. Because it's basically a whole bunch of hard drives connected to the power outlet.
Yeah.
I mean, that's about as far as I know about that. But
that makes sense. But
there was that big negative press run back in March when it was all hyped up that got into people's minds that it's really, really bad for the environment to work in NFTs.
Oh, wow.
It's true to a certain point, but to me, it felt more like somebody is losing money because of NFTs and they put out bad press.
Yes.
To try to stop it. That's what it felt like to me. That doesn't mean that it's not true. It's definitely true.
Isn't that more of a problem with renewable energy though than the actual NFT
right. market? Well, so they're gonna so the NFTs are trying like ETH NFTs are trying to convert to proof of work or proof of stake. I can't remember which one was which.
Yeah.
But in which case it won't be an issue anymore. But yeah, if it was so I did a ton of research on it. Google is completely powered by like windmills. So everything you do on Google is low energy consumption.
Yeah.
Some other site, my website is bad. My website is bad. Your website is bad if you sell prints and t-shirts and all stuff like that. Some people believe it's not as bad as NFTs, you know, but I have to consider like Amazon. I can't remember if their site, I think it wasn't good.
Yeah. Like
it wasn't as good as Google. But you have to consider, all right, they got to power the warehouses. You got to gas up the trucks. You put in the smoke in the air. You do this and you do that. Everything you do.
Also, the kind of borderline slave labor, right?
Right. Right. And so it's like it's a worldwide issue, not just with NFTs.
Yeah.
You know. And but hen is green, so it's not an issue at all.
Oh, that's cool.
Not even one bit. Like nobody can even like bother you with that because it's totally safe for the environment.
That's great. I hadn't even thought of that aspect of it actually.
I don't understand why NFTs just haven't switched over to Tez because there's a huge community on HEN. And it was just recently voted. Like there's a big get together happening in New York City, NFT New York City. I think it's next week or in 2 weeks or something. It's huge. Everybody's going to go there. Everybody's talking about it. But it's like, it just got voted as HEN is the best platform.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Above OpenSea and everything else.
Like I hadn't even heard of it.
There's a humongous community that's really into it. And I don't understand why ETH has just not been abandoned. But I think just people are so committed because they made fortunes on it. You know, so that's just where it is.
My FedEx truck is here. So they're going to be picking up. Yep. They have upgraded from USPS. So if I have to step away for 1 second.
Do you know how much damage you're doing to the environment?
I know.
Having a truck pick up your package artwork?
Oh, see, now we can shame regular artists for, you know, that kind of stuff.
The paper, you're wasting cheese.
I'm well versed in this talk with being a vegan, man.
The company that prints
I've neutralized my carbon footprint with my veganism.
I actually neutralized my carbon footprint of ETH NFTs by donating a portion of sales to this site, carbon.fyi. And it checks your wallet and it tells you exactly how much of a footprint you've had and you can pay to offset that.
Oh, that's awesome. Give me just 1 sec, man.
Okay.
FedEx break. Yes, I got a package for you here. Okay, wonderful. Have a great day. Thank you.
For all of us old school artists who are still having packages picked up.
One thing about this TV, I haven't figured out like the screensaver ability. Like it has options to switch the pictures out.
Oh yeah.
I put it at 10 minutes and it doesn't change every 10 minutes. So I don't know what to do. Sometimes it changes and sometimes it doesn't. But this is the artwork of David Chiefitz. Yeah, and
I've been
following him for years on Instagram and he got into NFTs and he's killing it.
Is he just doing like basically reproductions of his paintings?
No, he's just, those are just JPEGs of his.
Well, that's what I meant. I'm sorry. I just photos, meant JPEGs of the paintings. Yeah. They're not like digital. They haven't.
He
like...
actually has multiple accounts. He has his paintings. He has a digital, there's things called GANs, G-A-N.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what that means, but basically this computer program, you can like put in like hundreds of images and it'll produce a result.
Oh, wow.
Those are kind of hot right now. So he's been selling those kind of digital things as NFTs, and he's having fun and he's got amazing strategy and he's killing it.
That's awesome. So you don't even have to be like, you don't have to learn how to digitize your work or like make a little animation or anything.
No, they'll you
just
don't.
Do it for you.
You know, I wouldn't do that for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
I would do it if it could use it.
Like the same woman, the Carla, who was collected by the Paris Hilton Foundation or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but she is a painter, like an acrylic painter. She does like really bright, vibrant acrylic paintings. But when she does her NFTs, it's completely a different type of format. It's just digital art. It doesn't even right. look anything like her painting. So that's what she's doing. She's kind of focusing one, you know, for the normal.
I don't think you have to do that. And I know some people think they have to do that. I think you can do anything. You don't have
yeah.
to, you don't have well, to change your art to get into this world.
Yeah.
This
but,
is,
but
this
but also she didn't have to art. Animate her own artwork like a painting. She wouldn't have to like make it move, you know what I mean?
Right,
she
right.
actually just decided to do complete digital work.
I think anytime something comes into your mind that tells you you can't do it, just ignore that.
Just say, do it.
Thank you for the advice, but I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it anyway. Yeah. Almost every piece of advice that I got as an artist starting out turned out to be bogus. So really? I love this because like for me, I've been all about taking the power out of the middleman's hands of like yeah. doing the brick and mortar gallery stuff, even though I've done hundreds of shows too. Like I'm all about taking the power back. And this is just like one step further,
yeah.
which is cool.
I mean, I actually feel bad. Like I've shipped a few art pieces recently and I feel bad because I stand there giving the shipper my package and it's just like a mom and pop shop. And I'm like, I'm not going to be coming here very often.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like well, we're our relationship is done.
Yeah, yeah.
And I feel
well, that's
bad
gonna happen.
That, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's happening. Everything's changing, man. Like, and then you talk about machine learning and taking a lot of jobs that way too. It's gonna be a brave new world in the next 10, 20 years for sure.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's scary. It's
yeah.
fun.
It's fun.
But Decentraland's cool.
So tell everybody how they can find your exhibit if they want to look up any of your NFTs, all that stuff.
If you go to my website, bodypainter.com, you can just click on NFTs and that links you to all my platforms. My Linktree at Roustan, Roustan. My Decentraland link is on there. I do need to put my Decentraland link on my website, which I will soon, probably in the NFT page.
Okay. And your show is going to be up, you said, maybe through Thursday?
Let's do Thursday. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So if you're listening to this on a Tuesday or Wednesday, get in there now. And if not, you're going to have like other exhibitions up after that.
Maybe just put the link in your description.
I will do that for sure. Yeah. But if they were to like, if somebody were to listen to this 2 months down the road, for example,
right.
you'll have some other exhibition up there probably.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. So I'll put the links for that. If you want to listen to more about Paul's story, go back and listen to the first interview I did with him. And yeah, do you have anything else you want to say about NFTs, anything, or you feel pretty good?
It's exciting, fun, go for it. No expectations, enjoy it. And don't let your mind talk you out of it.
Awesome. And you don't mind if I pick your brain every once in a while?
No, not at all.
Like just a quick message.
No, I want to share the wealth, man. I'd love to share the wealth.
I
want everyone to succeed more than anything.
You helped Mook out a little bit, didn't you? She was mentioning something about that.
I told her to get on it, and I've been telling her to go for it because you and her are doing everything you're supposed to do to succeed.
Yeah.
You just need to jump ship and hop onto this other ship, basically. You could do both, too.
I want to do both because, like, this is my bread and butter. This is how I pay my mortgage. But, like, I want to dip my toes in and see if I can make some extra income and level up with NFTs.
Oh, definitely, you know? You definitely can. Like I'm right now, my main goal is to pay off my mortgage as soon as possible.
Nice.
That's
a good goal.
That's all I care about right now. And
for sure.
It's like I could pay it off in a year potentially.
Oh, wow. Really?
Probably.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much you have left, but
but a lot. I have a lot left.
Okay.
But the potential that exists in this space is enormous, but you have to do everything right, you know?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, I actually have one last question with that. So yeah. If you were to, let's say you wanted to pay off your mortgage, a lot of mortgages don't take cryptocurrency. So you'd have to convert it.
I just convert it to fiat through Coinbase, send it to the bank.
And then to dollars or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fiat is the dollar.
Oh, fiat is the dollar. Okay. Got it. See, I don't know. I don't know much, but I know this. Well, thanks, Matt. I really appreciate you jumping on. Yeah. Like it was literally like 20 minutes notice. So I really appreciate
it. Thanks for coming to the gallery. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, it was so cool. I was really inspired by it. So,
awesome.
Thanks, man. And I don't know if I'll see you in person soon. I don't know if you're coming to...
Yeah, I do want to go to Shockbox. And it's been a while. I haven't been there.
Cool. We got the show opening on the 6th. So maybe I'll see you.
Oh, no way. Cool. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Hey, thanks again.
Take it easy.
All right. See ya. This has been the Living Artist Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I just want you to know that I appreciate you being here, and I'm grateful to be in your ears. Your art and creative life on this planet is meaningful, so thank you for sharing it with me. If you like this podcast, whatever platform you're listening to it on, please subscribe and share it with your friends. You can also leave me a positive review to show your support. This helps me to reach more people with the algorithmic magic and keep the show going strong. If you want to see more of what I do and check out the art that I create, you can visit my website at www.pmsartwork.com or follow me on social media everywhere at PMS Artwork. That's it for now. See you back here next time.